Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of June 26, 2020, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. We are back here a couple days later than normal in your week, throwing you off. But we are here to get you ready for the weekend here because TGIF, because it's time for News AF. That's right. Okay. Thank God it's factual. Here is. Yes.
Excellent.
Here's a man who recently celebrated a big birthday. Here he is, Mr. Tyson Apostle.
Whoop whoop. 41. I caught up with you guys.
Yes.
And finally.
This isn't a race.
One step lower on the world's most famous 41-year-old reality stars.
Who, me or you?
I'm pretty sure that you are top. You top me in the rankings.
I hope
especially
so.
After you went back on Survivor.
That's true. And I was on Marriage Boot Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind my kids trying to smash this door down. Bergen had a birthday too. Mm-hmm. And we put all the unopened presents in this room to open one at a time throughout the day.
Oh, throughout the day, throughout the year you should do.
Throughout the year, whatever. She has to clean up and put her old present that she played with away before she can open a new one. Oh. So at some point in the day or during the podcast, you may get to see a door smash down and fall on top of my head as another kid jumps through the glass from the outside into a roll to get at these toys.
It's like you're in a shark cage.
I've really realized my mistake now. So,
such a good idea, Tyson. I've tried for every celebration. I try to get my wife and my family on board with this idea and nobody, I'm outvoted 3-1 every single time.
Yeah. It was Rachel's idea, but I don't know how it's going to play out. And yeah, the kids are, you can hear them. They're chomping at the bit to get at these presents.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to be an ongoing bit for the entire episode.
That's fine. It's a great bit. Do you want to know some of the other most famous 41-year-olds, Tyson?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Top five, or I'll give you top six is Usher. Number five,
okay, sure.
James Corden. Number four,
whoa, lots of competition.
Chris Pratt. I put him at number one on this list. I think that he's way too low on this list.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Number three, Adam Levine. Number two, Ian Somerhalder.
Who's he
from? He looks like Rob Lowe.
He must be an international guy.
I don't know.
Dude, what a crop of individuals.
Yeah.
In this age group.
Ian Somerhalder. He says he's an American actor. And a Supernatural. Come on. That's no way he's more famous than Chris Pratt.
Nope.
And number one, Kourtney Kardashian. Not even Kim Kardashian.
Kim's not 41.
Well, the skewed list. Okay.
Yeah.
And then if we looked at reality stars, I guess so. Kourtney Kardashian is going to be number one. Tyson is still hanging in there at number 25, the 25th most famous 41-year-old reality star.
That's pretty good. Where are you?
37. And I think Steven Fishback is no longer in the top 50.
Wow.
And by the way, Tyson, you have a lot of time to work on that, to climb in the rankings because you're going to be 41 for a long time.
Yeah, yes. I just barely turned 41. Oh, I've got 51 weeks.
Tyson, there is another survivor who has actually passed both of us, even though Steven
eclipsed
Fishback,
us.
Yeah, Steven Fishback has been knocked out of the top 50, even though he was in sequester recently, that he is out of the top 50. Breaking news.
Who's eclipsed us?
Amber Mariano.
Never heard of her.
You're a friend in mine. Yes, she is 22. She is 22. So if you could just get a little bit more famous, you could be back over Amber Mariano.
As the number one 41-year-old survivor.
Yes. Yes. The number one 40. Yeah, right now.
What a title.
Right now, you're two. I'm three. Steven Fishback is unranked.
So he could be anywhere. He might not even be in the top 10 of 41-year-old survivors.
He might not be. I don't know. He used to be on the list, but no longer.
Yep. Okay. See you, Steven.
All right.
R.I.P.
And here is one of the top family men around, just got back from a big trip. Here is the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Recovering.
From which? From both? Because you went on a family trip last we spoke. Yes. And you were heading out the door. And then this week on Monday, we got a text that said you had an adventure coming up and you would not be able to join us on Tuesday.
Yes.
And so are you recovering from both or are you still recovering from the family adventure? Does the bro trip, does that take some recovery as well? Because
no,
you know, sometimes you guys argue about who goes to church more and stuff like that.
Sometimes we argue about what to eat after the adventure, but the family adventure definitely takes the most. We visited what I would call a bear prison, also known as Bear World.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. We have one of those in Arizona called Bearizona.
And I got to be honest, after the whole Tiger King thing, I drove through there with a new set of eyes that made me look around and see Tiger King everywhere. From the employees to the whole vibe of the place.
Danny, could you set the stage for Bear Prison?
Okay, so Bear World is...
Yeah, it's not titled Bear Prison.
That's what I call it. You guys know my position on zoos.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a place I've driven by multiple times right before Rexburg, Idaho, if you're headed north. Mm-hmm. And I finally said, you know, I'm going to stop because there's no guarantee when I go to Yellowstone or the Tetons that my kids will see a bear. So why not get it out of the way? We'll see bears. And then, you know, any bear in the wild is a bonus. So we rolled up to the gates. It's not cheap. I'd say to get our car in was $100 or something.
Yeah.
So, but you can drive through as many times as you want.
Yeah, but you're a podcaster. That's a drop.
I'm like, don't you know who I am? Man. Don't you know who I am? No. So we paid full price. We drove in and they build up to it. There's a couple mountain goats or something at the beginning. And there's some deer and a white elk, which is cool.
An albino elk.
And then you get to the gate and they say, hey, keep your windows up. They give you a little lecture. And then you go through the gate and the first thing you see is a grizzly bear pacing the prison yard because he's fenced off in an electric fence pen all by himself. And he is walking the same triangle like area with a super mad look on his face. Like if he was to break loose, it would be Jurassic Park, Tyrannosaurus Rex all over again. He'd probably walk out into the other bears, ripping arms off, smashing car windows.
On the back of somebody's bumper to just get out of
eating children whole. He just looks so upset because he's penned up in this tiny little electric fence area. And so, you know, I've never seen a grizzly from a car like that. That was kind of neat, but also depressing.
Can I ask a question, Danny? Is there any liability here at Bear World if a bear just destroys your car?
So there must be, because we had our windows down after being told not to have them down.
Oh,
and a Karen drove up super fast in like an old beat up car with some spray paint on it. And she was like, roll up, screaming at us at like 100 yards away to roll up our windows.
Yeah.
Because at any minute, a black bear might crawl in and eat the Cheetos.
They get your scent. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so in front of us, there was a big tall van where you could pay $55 a person to throw meat at the bears.
What?
And so, yeah, so that was like also had this depressing vibe of like throwing scraps to the prisoners, you know, from a safe distance and watching them fight over pieces of meat. We drove through, there are probably like 50 bears. They're all over the place and they're in the middle of the road. I borrowed my dad's van. So I was a little worried that they might come out. No, my kids wanted to throw food out the windows, but after that lady shouted at us, I locked the windows because my kids can't be trusted. But yeah, it was just, they wanted to go through again. I went through twice and I don't know. I didn't like it. I think my kids liked it a lot because they didn't sense the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
They just thought it was cool.
But you have like a sixth sense to just really feel people.
Well, I was just like, dude, these bears want to be out in the open eating berries on a hillside in a big mountain range, not trapped up in this.
Chasing people.
Yeah, chasing people who have fed them. And who knows what the backstories are of these bears are. They're probably just down on their luck, you know, looking for a place to stay. And Bear World just opens their gates to down on their luck bears.
You don't think they're like rescue bears or anything?
They're probably bears that get used to human food.
Oh, and then are relocated there. Yeah.
I honestly don't know the backstory of the bears, but I can tell you right now that for $100, if you want to go see sad bears, it's the place to be.
Yeah. Okay. It's the quarantine destination of the summer.
Yeah.
Bear world.
We also here in Arizona have a place called Out of Africa Safari, Safari Land or something. And it is exactly identical to Tiger King. It's like chain link fences with tigers behind them and lions behind them and bears behind them and every large beast behind them. And then you go into this room and there's like this plastic plexiglass wall. And behind that wall is two king cobras. Ooh. And you're like, dude, they're like 20 feet long king cobras. And it's ridiculous because it doesn't seem like any of the structures could really hold a beast like that in if that beast didn't like just become complacent. So the second they're like, you know what? I'm out. I feel like they could get out of there.
Yeah, I felt like that with the grizzly bear. Like I looked at the little fence holding him back. I'm sure that it gives you a shock. I've touched an electric fence in Switzerland, and I imagine it's probably something like that. But if that bear really, really wanted to get out and attack some antagonizer in a car, I feel like it could.
Yeah. Mike in the chat said a friend of his works at Out of Africa.
Yeah.
And
yes. Yeah. Well, Mike is I believe a zoologist. Is that right? Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. I know he works with animals. I'm not sure if that's the official, if that's the correct title.
Yeah. He also corrected us on saying the elk probably wasn't albino.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. So we should listen to Mike.
Yeah.
He's not just some
crackpot in the chat.
Well, he could be, but he's also a zoologist.
That's right. I vouch for Mike. He knows what he's talking about.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about some other wildlife that has been recently spotted. Tyson, what's your appetite for Loch Ness Monster to be back in 2020?
Awesome.
Yes.
I think if it's the year to like
news
finally
of 2020?
Expose yourself as the Loch Ness Monster, then yes.
Is it the July surprise?
Yeah. It's the July surprise. It's too positive of a surprise for it to be the July surprise. This needs to be something way.
I like the neutral story. How is it positive? Like, who gains if the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, we don't have to keep talking about it.
Danny, I think it's
hope in Bigfoot, hope in aliens, hope that everything Jose Canseco said is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think that Nessie is known to be friendly.
So the Loch Ness Monster will become a symbol of hope in these troubled times.
Yes.
Okay. I can see that.
Does the Loch Ness Monster eat murder hornets?
I don't see why not. I'm sure we can recruit the Loch Ness Monster.
I don't see how it would be able to chase the murder hornets down enough to even eat them.
Well, the buzz is that a new photo has been taken of the Loch Ness Monster.
Is it grainy?
It's not that grainy. It's one of the least grainy pictures that we've seen. But a debate has sparked over this photo of the veracity, Tyson.
Okay. So what it loses in graininess, it gains in what appears to be CGI-ness, I think, looking at the picture.
You think it's Photoshopped?
Yeah, look at it. The weird skin, it looks a little out of place.
I kept waiting for Rob to share it on the screen here for us all to look
at.
Oh, I can
do that, yeah. Yeah, I can post it. I can post it in the video if you give me a second.
Okay, I'll give you a second, and we'll just keep talking about it until then. Does it have big teeth, Danny?
No, it's just a look at its back, like it's in the middle of one of those things that whales do, where it kind of just skims the air with its back exposed and then descends back to the depths. That's kind of what it's in the middle of doing.
Okay,
and it's better than almost all other photos of Loch Ness that you see.
Almost all other you've seen better?
Well, they have that one where it has the silhouetted outline of Loch Ness looking up, and it kind of gives you an idea of like, oh, it kind of looks like a brontosaurus head coming out of the water. This one, it's something floating on the surface of the water if it is real, but doesn't give you any idea of shape, size, or what the animal that possesses the rest of the body might look like.
Yeah. Well, what could it be? Just something from like another age, like a plesiosaurus or whatever those are called.
First of all,
get back in here and tell us what that dinosaur is called.
I don't think it's anything. I think this is someone practicing their Photoshop skills.
Yeah.
Because why? Okay. Here's something. We all have cameras. All cameras shoot video. If you are trying to get a picture of something like this or Bigfoot, my recommendation is to shoot video because you can always screen grab. But video can be more convincing. Doesn't mean video can't be faked. It can, and it can be faked very well. But what I'm saying is, why would you take a stupid picture when you should just do video? It's so much more convincing. You
right.
know, this guy, it looks like he had time to get something, and he chose to take a really stupid picture.
Danny, you don't want to believe that Nessie is back.
I don't believe in Nessie. They've done extensive research, sonar. They've dragged things through that lake to kind of take pictures of everything. And it's just like, no, it's not there. Why would Nessie, do you think this Nessie thing is intelligent enough to be like, no, I'm going to hide from cameras and people? It has no, animals typically don't really care that much, especially underwater ones. They don't know what's
Nessie
going on
the
surface.
So smart that Nessie knows anything that humanity touches dies, Danny.
Mm-hmm. Nessie knows.
Nessie knows.
Is that the catchphrase?
Keep a low profile.
Yeah, I just don't under. I don't believe it.
Even as a shy creature with eyes on a lake, you have Nessie can't always be aware of when a
exactly
human is around.
Yes. Especially with humans who have binoculars, drones, planes, helicopters. It's like they just can't. It would be impossible for Nessie
to hold your breath that long.
Okay. Yeah.
Even in our own chat, Jacob says that's not Nessie.
Is he a Nessie denier, or he's just saying that that particular
particular shot is not Nessie? Even the man who took the photo, his name is Steve Chalice, that he says it was a big fish, but he shared the photo. He says, personally, I know there's been some interest and some people are saying it's the monster, but I don't believe that.
That's smart. Oh, I don't think this is, but secretly he's posting it out there hoping that people will believe it is.
Yeah. So he's being humble about it, Tyson, so that that he can say like, hey, I didn't even believe it at first.
Yeah. It's not even me, a doubter, was able, you know. But after thinking about it for a long time, maybe it is, and maybe I will sell this photo and you can buy it for $100,000 to put in National Enquirer.
Yeah. Loch Ness Monster expert is also dubious about the photo. He said that up until this year, we only had distant webcam blobs due to the lockdown at Loch Ness. But now this image turned up. But if it's a genuine picture of the Loch Ness Monster, it would easily rank in the top three of all time.
Well, that's not stiff competition there.
Pretty low bar. It's not. I like the little meme thing or the little GIF they've got going on in the corner there of the looks like Loch Ness, but when you zoom in, it's a giraffe.
Yeah. Okay. Is the Loch Ness monster actually the Loch Ness giraffe?
It could be just a giraffe that
giraffe
that escaped from out of Africa, safari land in Arizona, made its way to Loch Ness and is now there enjoying full body immersions.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if there are more Loch Ness monster sightings in the next couple of days, and then we will update you as they come in. But another animal story going on. We've talked about how monkeys, in addition, also we've talked about the cannibal rats, but in Thailand, the monkeys are really out of control. And in one city in Thailand, the monkeys have completely taken over and they have turned an abandoned movie theater into their headquarters.
Awesome. I saw this. This was terrifying.
But like awesome from a distance, right? Like,
yeah, awesome.
This is like Gremlins. Like, is that what you're feeling? Like the like that scene in Gremlins where all the gremlins are at the theater?
They were very disrespectful of that scene.
Oh, yeah, they really were. Hogan was trying to watch the movie and then they ended up like burning the film.
Yeah, there it was not going to be great.
The thing I didn't like about these monkeys in the videos I saw of this event is just like the erratic way, I mean, they behave, you know, like, just they're always running, which makes you very anxious. Like, why are these monkeys? Are they about to attack? Like, the only there's never
chill.
they're not getting exercise. So if a monkey is running, it means it's about to do some kind of action. What is that action? And it just stresses me out seeing that many monkeys. We're talking, what, hundreds of monkeys running together in a group?
Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody wants to see that. That's the stuff of nightmares.
So let me just give you the context of what was happening. When there was a active tourist industry pre-coronavirus, people were paying money and they were taking pictures with the monkeys and they were feeding them fruit. Now, because of the lockdown, the monkeys are running short on supplies. And the locals are struggling to keep them under control. So what did they do? They gave them junk food. But unfortunately, the sugary diet has turned them, according to this article, into they are sex crazed and breeding faster than before. This really is the plot of Gremlins.
Yeah.
So hold on. Sugar is Viagra to a monkey. It's kind of like sounds
it
like
it gives them more energy. I mean, when you think about their diets, naturally, it's what mostly fruits and vegetables and maybe some meat stuff. They're omnivores, I assume. And then you all of a sudden add in all this refined sugar where they aren't getting the fiber and everything. And yeah, they are definitely, it's like one of those, you know, like one of those kids that's parents, like they can't have sugar. Like you take them somewhere, they go to Disneyland and they're like, we actually brought our, these are Rice Krispie treats, apple but instead slices. Of being, yeah, instead of being so, bonded with marshmallow, it's bonded with, I melted down, sweetener, coffee sweetener. Yeah.
So something
dumb.
They've turned this theater into Bone Town.
Mm-hmm.
The Bone Zone. My guess is that they're going to have to burn the theater, go in with flamethrowers when all this is over. Because you don't recover as a theater from that.
This is going to be like, it's going to turn into like the scene from Aliens where they go in with the flamethrower as like baby monkeys are being like, popped out of like egg sacs that are laying all over the theater. I don't know how monkeys have babies, but that's what I'm imagining in this theater.
Similar to humans, I believe.
Gosh, how scary would it be to be in that theater, the only human just sitting there in the middle?
You'd have rabies within like, I don't know, 10 seconds.
Rabies, herpes, all the monkey diseases. Yeah. I mean,
diseases you can't even joke about. You would get all of them.
We don't even know about the diseases that are hanging out in that theater. We thought some markets in Asia were dangerous. This theater is now the hot zone.
You think this is where scientists need to go?
What's that?
You think this is where scientists need to go to study new infectious diseases and discover stuff before it hits population?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but I mean, what scientists? Right. Yeah, what are you going to wear? Like a chainmail suit? That's what you'd have to wear, like a suit of armor. Yeah,
they'll knock you down. You won't be able to get down.
So you'd have to wear chainmail under and then a suit of armor.
Seriously, that would be the only thing you could wear to go into this movie theater, which maybe this would be a great hot tour spot. Like, it's
It's not.
No, it totally would. You get in a shark cage.
Because of the excess monkey excrement, the smell is unbearable to get near this area.
I always forget. Okay. Yeah.
So this is what you do. You get like some like shark cage pulley device that swings you through the theater slowly, but then it's also like a screen so that they can't throw feces at you. And then you also have a mask or there's like some type of air purifier inside like the elevator, like a glass elevator.
No, you're talking about the sex monkey gondola tour in Thailand.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And
go through the center of a monkey orgy ball.
Yeah. Mating ball.
From the safety of your gondola. Yeah, this makes total sense.
And you can have lunch on the gondola. You can have the music.
Yeah.
All while just drinking in all the monkey sex that you could want for the afternoon. So
what they're trying to do is they are taking out individual monkeys to anesthetize and castrate them before returning them to the population.
Trouble back monkey. Into the theater so they catch them.
Yeah, they can live out their days, but they're not making any more new monkeys
in the theater.
I guess so. I mean, that's show business.
Nature finds a way. I mean, if we're to learn
anything. Yeah, we saw what happened to that documentary, Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Dude, they'll find another way to deliver seed.
Yeah, they definitely will. It'll be scarier and worse and more rapid than what we were fighting
against. This is a nightmare. This is going to be made into a movie. That's the point.
What's the name of the movie, Danny?
Jurassic Park 5.
Danny, now the behavior of these monkeys, this is similar to what happens to you when you get all of your hot tamales and gummy candies.
No, because nobody wants to deal with me. That many hot tamales, you can smell me coming from like miles away.
Or is because it makes you gassier from your breath or what?
No, I mean, give the breath. Hot tamales to the monkeys. Would that cut down on all the population? I doubt they would eat it.
And monkeys are impervious to smell when they are ready to bone down.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
I feel like you just made that up, but you delivered it perfectly.
Mike in the chat, get back to us. That's a fact. When monkeys are ready to bone down, no smell is going to turn them off.
You know,
except for maybe urine.
When you eat that many hot tamales, you're not in the mood because your mouth hurts so much. It's all raw. It's not the time. You need to recover.
But you don't bone down with your mouth.
No, but you think about your mouth a lot when it's injured.
Mm. Okay.
This is a interesting line from this piece that's on the Daily Mail about this. It says that the monkeys have also started taking over abandoned properties in the city. A cinema that has long been derelict now acts as their base and even contains a burial ground in a projection room with anyone who enters attacked. Do the monkeys have a burying room?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, a burial ground, like the elephant graveyard in Tarzan.
Yeah, is that's what they do? The monkeys,
they probably toss all the dead monkeys in a room so that they're not everywhere.
Body to one place and then have like a burial spot?
Sounds like it. I don't know.
I'll say it again. Nightmare. This is a nightmare.
These monkeys are trying to gain squatters' rights in all of these buildings. And then the owners of these buildings won't be able legally to kick the monkeys out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we've got to act fast because I think 7 years in the property they have squatters' rights.
Not squatters' rights.
Oh, either way.
We'll apply it to squatters as well.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, we started talking about a new place popping up on different food delivery apps. That was Pasquale's Pizza. Maybe that was a harbinger of what was to come, as it turns out that Pasquale's Pizza was actually Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is now filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, Tyson.
I believe it. But first, I have to address something real quick. These people are saying the elephant graveyard is in Lion King, not in Tarzan. We're not talking Disney films here. The old original Tarzan, like maybe even black and white, had a place where they discovered like a pile of elephant bones. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking it up, but I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to let you guys look it up now. But that's what I was referencing.
And that's different than the bones of the Elephant Man that Michael Jackson wanted to purchase, correct?
Yes, a lot different than that. Okay. So anyways, let's get back to Chuck E. Cheese going out of business. And this is their filing for bankruptcy. And this is their chance to start fresh as Pasquale's.
Start fresh? Or you're saying that as fresh as a Pasquale's pizza?
No, start fresh.
Okay.
A reset. Buy themselves from themselves for a cheaper price.
Guys, this chain is only slightly older than ourselves.
Yes. Is it the most famous 41-year-old pizza chain?
I can really feel my
Chuck
mortality.
Chuck E. Cheese's?
Yeah, 43-year-old chain.
It puts everything into perspective.
Right? It's like, dude, I could die at any moment.
But it was Showbiz Pizza before.
Mm. And it was Pasquale's at the end.
After.
It tried. It was its last like death throes, changed to Pasquale's and try and get some ground, but didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the coronavirus, which was maybe the final nail in the coffin. But as recently as 2014, they tried to innovate, adding things like gaming cards, coffee drinks, and premium beer and wine. Tyson, I can't believe that wasn't enough to save Chuck E. Cheese.
Maybe it is. They're just doing a hard reset. You know, sometimes you need to, do that. to then come back even stronger. So I think, but I don't know. It's, I think they got to go back to showbiz, you know, like AT&T and Singular. Once AT&T acquired Singular and everybody's like, they're like, we're Singular. And everybody's like, Singular's customer service sucks. And after a couple years of every single person in the country saying that, they were like, we're actually AT&T now. We switched our name. Mm-hmm. And then after a few years, everybody's like, AT&T customer service sucks. And then they were like, guess what? We're Singular again. They did that swip swappity do. I think if showbiz pizza just goes back to showbiz, it's more Hollywoody. It's like,
I think it's done, Tyson. I think they're done.
Yeah.
I don't think they recover from this.
Maybe the food establishment going with a small rodent as their mascot was not the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. The animatronics were terrifying.
They were very scary. Mm-hmm. And the lighting in those places was also quite horrific. That made it extra terrifying. If maybe it's a thing where they only open up on Friday the 13th and Halloween.
Oh,
not enough.
Not enough. Some of the top haunted houses in the country are making probably millions.
Yeah, but those haunted houses, I feel like they're not. I mean, the building is being used for something else. So you'd have to have your Chuck E. Cheese's operating as something else for the rest of the year. Otherwise you probably can't even pay for the taxes, property taxes, whatever. If you're only opening twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's more Friday the 13th.
Tyson, why do you want this to stick around? We want Chuck E. Cheese to die. We want to clear some ground for a new delightful children's restaurant with the hottest, newest entertainment.
Pirate Island pizza.
Yeah, something cool, something advanced. Let's get rid of this. Let's clear some of this old wood.
We'll come up with an idea then. Let's think of it. And what are we going to do with those animatronics? We're just going to throw them away in a dumpster and then they're going to come back to life
thirty years from now to lead the robot
revolt.
Those monkeys move them to the animatronic graveyard.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we send the animatronics in to reclaim the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great Chuck E. Cheese animatronics monkey battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it could be quite spectacular.
Okay. Tyson, this is something that's for you. There's a new company. It's called MSCHF. They're a new brand, and they're trying to build some viral moments. And they have a internet-wide competition. And here's what you do. You have a new app, okay? And the game is you have to put your finger on the phone for as long as possible.
New take on an old game.
Yeah. Hands on a hard body.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or hand on a hard body. Is that what it was called?
On what?
On a car?
Yeah, there's a movie. Well, it was a documentary, I think, or it was a movie based on a real contest called Hand on a Hard Body, where it was a radio contest and everybody had to keep their hand on a car, and whoever had their hand on the car at the very end won the car. Then I think Survivor first season actually had a challenge like this where you had to keep your hand on a pole while standing in the ocean, right?
Final challenge. Well, they weren't in the ocean.
They weren't in the ocean. Mm-hmm. So, I think, you could do this. I would probably prefer to use my tongue if we have to touch our phones as long as possible.
That's what I was going to ask. Could you set the record if it's how long could you keep your tongue on the phone?
I already set the record, half a second.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, the world record right now for keeping your tongue on a phone is half a second. I'm going to break it for you right now in person. Are you ready?
Ready.
Wait, are you doing this on video?
I'm doing it on video. You guys count.
Let's go full screen on Tyson.
This is my phone. Are you guys ready to count?
Yeah.
You count it out for me and I'll pull my tongue away when I can no longer bear the thought of it.
Is this safe? Should you sterilize the phone first? I feel like that this is...
I will. Here we go. Okay. We're good.
Ready? The behavior of Tyson should not... we need like the jackass warning.
Yeah, for sure.
Only to be done by professionals. And if... I die in a week or two and we somehow link it to what I'm about to do, everyone is allowed to make as many jokes about it.
Tyson, I don't want you to do it.
Gross. Did almost 2 seconds,
dude,
right?
That wasn't 2 seconds. That's 1 second.
Okay. Maybe we're going to break
this
it
for an Instagram live.
His tongue is out, folks. His tongue is out. It's touching the screen. 1-1000-2-1000-3-1. Oh, okay. Nice.
Please.
Did it.
You okay? How do you feel?
I mean, woozy and sick, but I don't know if it's like in my head or if it's like from the actual phone.
You're that much stronger now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm building antibodies now.
That's right.
They're going to actually come to me and have to pull my blood and be like, the phone lick virus.
I'm telling you,
you were the first.
We are drifting closer and closer to TikTok collab house week by week.
The neighbors are probably complaining about what I just did to my phone right now.
Yeah. So
to the HOA, they're calling the HOA.
A big concern in this contest is people cheating, finger on the app. People are concerned about it. So what they're doing is that you have to also like move your finger. So you can't just like put something on it. It's like a dot that you have to follow around. You can't use a stylus. They say that they've really created a lot of safeguards to make sure that the winner actually has a finger on the app.
Yeah, cheaters find a way.
Mm-hmm.
They sure do. You don't think these sex robot creators already have a way to get around this, you know?
I get a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic thing and just have it doing its thing with its finger on your phone. I mean,
if it's so easy, boom. Why don't you go win the contest, Tyson? It's $25,000, I believe.
It's not easy for Tyson.
Yeah, it's only $25,000 to enter?
No, you win if you would get $25,000.
I have to hold my finger on the phone. Yes.
Finger on the app is live on the App Store now, and the contest starts on June 30th. And ends with the second to last finger slides off the screen.
This is better than the card one. Because you can go pee, you can go poo.
I really want to try this because there's a couple reasons. I want to try it because I think maybe they're not going to get the turnout they're hoping to get. Mm-hmm. But also, so that's why I want to try it. Because I'm
uncheatable,
like,
Tyson.
So I'm thinking maybe for an hour or two I could do this and win 25K. But also, the downside is you get some basement dweller who just plays video games, who's like, I'm going to do it. And then they're on there.
No, they'll get bored. They want to be in the game.
Strongest thumbs in the world.
All you need is two of those guys to go at it head to head. And it's going to be like a 6-month contest, which will be crazy and hilarious.
So this app is being done in collaboration with a YouTuber called Mr. Beast, who my kids talk about incessantly. And, I don't know who he is. I've never watched any of his videos, but I just saw his name and I know that I'm going to end up hearing about this probably 3 or 4 times over, you know, after it happens. I'm going to be told about Mr. Beast and all the money he gave away. Guys, you don't understand. You don't understand. This is at least right here. This competition is going to result in at least 30 minutes of rapid talking into my ear while two kids follow me around my house yelling at me about this app.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you get the app on your phone and make one of your kids do this? That'll keep one of them from doing anything else.
You give your kid a phone, and what you get back is something nobody would ever lick.
Covered in
lick.
Stick. The thing is that you can't lick it because the shards of glass will go in your tongue.
Your phone somehow comes back so sticky. Okay. I mean, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, speaking of a sticky phone, we have a story that we need to cover here about a man who is suing the video game streaming site Twitch. Danny, now this is not you, right?
No, but I saw this was all over the place. All
right. You've recently started doing some stuff on Twitch, right, Rob?
I signed up for Twitch. Oh.
No, I haven't. I have not been. So for a very long time that the podcasts have streamed on Twitch, but I have not started doing stuff individually on Twitch, but I have thought about doing some sort of like watching along
But you've done some game night stuff on Twitch with PG, right?
Yes, on PG's channel. That's right.
And yes. have you been extra sexy on there?
No. Yeah, were you scantily clad?
I mean, I'm thinking, if now that
were
I
you
know.
Were you wearing a plaid shirt? What were you wearing?
Well, now that I know that you are. Sling? Yeah, maybe I'll wear no shirt to PG's game night on Sunday.
Nice. Gotta compete. Would. That's what I would do. Yeah.
Okay. Are there a lot of scant... So, okay, well, let's get into this article. A man is suing Twitch for $25 million. He says that he is a sex addict and there are too many scantily clad gamers that got him so excited that he actually injured himself.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
That he was so... he was
what injury?
He hurt his organ.
Member.
All of his groin muscles got pulled.
All of his groin, they got pulled way too much, Tyson.
Yeah, wow.
And so he has hurt himself and is suing for $25 million.
Reasonable amount.
So yes. Twitch does have some guidelines in play where you can't, I don't think there's nudity and stuff like that, but they definitely have the above from the down into the shirt shots and stuff like that. There's like a line where you can like a gray area where you can sexualize a little bit, but not too much. But, I think that, Twitch should come back and be like, we're the safe place. So we've actually probably kept you from doing even more harm by visiting other websites without any measures in place.
Look, dude, you've got an internet connection. You're done. If you got a porn addiction and an internet connection, there's no safe place for you.
You just got to go lean full into it.
Yeah.
At least in the old days, you had to embarrass yourself by going to a store and asking for a copy of some magazine. Maybe this guy's doing it. He's got an internet connection.
Yeah. At some point,
Twitch, it doesn't matter.
That, yeah. Even he's like, look, I need to get my video gaming. Can't he watch a different Twitch stream?
Yeah, can't he? He says
he
that.
Could, but
he says that like, he followed something. To
click on a particular streamer that might be scantily clad.
But that he follows like 300, or I can't remember what the number was from when I read the article, and that number continues to grow. But he follows so many. It's like, dude, you're the one clicking follow or whatever it is on Twitch.
Not all of them. Do you know the man's name? Because I feel like if you're going to sue for this, then we should.
Ken Bone.
No. The man is named. I'm seeing his last. Eric Estabilio.
Ah, this is a brave man. Eric putting Estabilio. His full name out there.
Yeah.
Yes. He's following 786 female gamers and zero male streamers.
There's his problem right there.
Yes. Okay. And he says the list is growing because he can't control his addiction.
Do you think he needs help?
I think his mom needs to stop paying for the internet.
Yeah. His mom needs to stop paying for the internet and buying him phones.
Yeah.
And he'd be fine.
Yeah. And he is calling for Twitch to permanently ban a number of the female gamers that he follows.
It's a weird world.
Yeah. Dude, if he's paying subscriptions to all of those gamers too. And buying like their little like emoji bundles and stuff. Yes. He's probably spending thousands of dollars a month just on Twitch.
Yeah. I don't know. He also spent some money on a certain device, which chafed him also. I think that maybe he should sue the manufacturer of the device, maybe.
A device that chafes you.
Also, not to get...
What is it? Cotton underwear?
No. He also claims that in one incident that he ended up having... You know, it's not even... You know, it involves bodily fluids and electrical wiring of his monitor. And it's not... We don't need to go there.
No, we don't.
But basically, the ending of the story is that there was it created sparks and made a fire in his apartment.
This story, which, by the way, the story which I read only the first paragraph of when I saw it pop up a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Deserves so much more attention than I gave it. Oh my gosh. That is a wild story. This guy is, I mean, next to the monkey wranglers in Thailand, right. This guy's got a pretty exciting life.
I mean, Tyson, between when you were suggestively eating a banana that time to licking your phone screen, are you worried that we are going to get named in a lawsuit of somebody that might be unable to control themselves watching this podcast?
Every day I wake up and that's one of my greatest fears.
Phone licking could be one of those AMSR or whatever the abbreviation is for it things.
Yeah, you better be careful on your Instagram, Tyson. And you too, mediocre amateur.
Because I'll lose 60,000 followers, but gain 300,000 followers.
Are you looking a little too vascular in 4K, Danny?
Oh my gosh! Yes, my vascularity is going through the roof. It's actually repulsive. I need to wear pants more often.
We call him. I mean, you can call him Vascular Dan, but you can call him VD for short.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I prefer that.
All right. Okay, Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Yes, if you like pizza.
Okay. Oh, okay. More pizza stories in the bolt hole. Okay. Yep. All right, let's go.
Welcome to Bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Nocturnal emission.
Okay. Danny.
Have you guys been using DoorDash or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I have. I'm a DoorDash guy.
Yeah.
It's like $1 million, right?
It costs a lot more. $1 million.
The food, just to get it delivered to your house, it costs a lot
stock
more.
Stock price.
No.
Yeah.
Is it more expensive? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think that they do. Like, it's funny that some of those different sites end up, jacking up the price more.
Oh.
Like, you might see what's like. I don't know why the food costs more. Like, I understand there's a service charge, and I understand the same thing. Like, something that costs $7.99 if you...
Tax and gratuity.
Yeah, but it's just like on the menu, it costs like $10.
Yeah.
So, Christoph, we talk about him occasionally.
Best friends.
Yeah, he's had two mysterious Uber Eats show up at his house that he did not order. Mm-hmm. And I guess the policy in both cases... they gave him the food, even though he said, "I did not order this."
Mm-hmm. Like, so he didn't even put in an order or anything.
Nothing. It showed up at his house, and supposedly the first.
And you think the sex monkeys are up to this?
They could be, or this guy who's watching Twitch is just hammering at his keyboard way too hard and sending food to strangers.
Okay,
but it reminded me of a story I came across a week or two ago about a man in Belgium. Who has been mysteriously receiving pizzas for almost a decade.
A decade?
Yes.
Does he eat them?
So he thought it started off as just like a prank, a friend of his ordering pizzas. But now it's gotten to the point where when he hears a scooter coming down the street, this is him talking, he begins to shake.
Oh no.
It's conditioned him. It's like Pavlov's dog, right?
Wow.
The bell rings, and instead of salivating at the thought of pizza showing up at his house, he becomes fearful.
So, I didn't want
a pizza. This is the interesting part about the story is that
he's afraid of pizza.
Yeah. Most of us would be like, oh, that's awesome. Free pizza. Keep bringing me the pizza. Free pizza for a decade. Yes, please. But it's turned into a nightmare for him. He doesn't know who's sending it. Doesn't know like who the person is. This is just someone, I guess, trolling him in a very delicious way and has done it for a decade. And by the way, it's not just like
thousands of dollars.
Yeah. So it wasn't just, no, he doesn't pay, right? He doesn't have to pay for this pizza.
That's pranking him.
Exactly. Now, this is the,
but if you're a billionaire,
this is another crazy part of it. He's not just getting one pizza. Right.
Yeah.
He had 10 different delivery drivers come in the same day. And also on the same day, he once received 14 pizzas. So this is like mass amounts of pizza, which the thing I can't wrap my head around, it doesn't talk about it in this story, is
this pizza is coming from someplace. There must be a record of the phone number being used to order the pizza. I mean, this started a decade ago before the internet was hot stuff for ordering things online. And I just cannot understand how he hasn't resolved this issue. And now he lives in fear of pizza. A giant amount of pizza crushing him is probably his nightmare every night.
Yeah.
It was just so weird.
Why can't ask the delivery person, the pizza place, like, who maybe sent you? Like,
Maybe the pizza place, maybe that's part of the deal. He's like, I'm going to buy pizza for one person for a long time. And you do not tell where the pizza's coming from ever.
Yeah.
What is this guy? I feel like if this guy just went through the list of who he thought were his enemies, you could narrow it down pretty quickly.
But would an enemy order you hot pizza all the time?
For 10 years, I think, an evil genius would.
An evil genius, someone playing the long game.
Tyson, where would your enemy order you takeout from?
Well, I think if they're playing the long... No, I think if they're playing... it depends. Are they playing the short game or the long game?
We're saying long game. A decade of food being sent
then
to
you. Then it has to be your favorite food, and then it ruins your favorite food.
The psychological damage... Tyson's right. It's so much worse.
Like, imagine if you sent Danny Indian food every day, like 6 meals a day, 7 meals a day, and just like ruined the entire menu for him. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Christoph, when he got his food, one was Chipotle and I can't remember what the other one was, but he was so glad to have it, right? Like a surprise meal shows up and it's delicious. And maybe at the beginning, he doesn't talk about this. His name is Gene Von Laudenham. He doesn't talk about it, but I'm sure at the beginning he was like,
stoked. Free pizza.
Stoked. I freaking love pizza. And then like not even a year later, like how long would it take to where you're like, what is going on? You know,
but it's got to be linked because 10 years ago there wasn't all these food deliveries. So it's linked specifically to the pizza place. And
well, he says 10 different delivery drivers in one day.
All from the same pizza place?
No, see, it doesn't talk about that, but it makes me think that it is not coming from all over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what he needs to do is he needs to just donate it to a homeless shelter or somewhere that could use that food and just bring it in. And then it circles it back. Like as if he could find a use for the food, the person who's trolling him would then be the one getting trolled as their...
Homeless, dude, this is the ultimate mystery.
Yeah.
This more interesting than the Loch Ness Monster is finding out who is ordering these pizzas for this man and why.
Now, could potentially all of those Thailand monkeys get in on this? If they were just like waiting outside this guy's house, they could be getting all that pizza.
And then they could calm down and not be going to Bone Town all the time.
And if this benefactor could potentially have just been ordering from Pasquale's Pizza this entire time, he could have saved Chuck E. Cheese from Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Some local restaurant is benefiting, or several are benefiting from this.
Keeping some other ones afloat.
Yeah,
I smell a Netflix documentary. Hey, come on, let's get on this. Someone's got
Like the Don't F with Cats, but for this pizza guy, where they're trying to hunt down like who and why and what and where this is happening. Let's get the rights to it right now.
I think we should just be a little cautious here of that. Let's just counterbalance. Like we have the
Jose Canseco, and you don't want to follow the paper trail to his house.
We have the mental health of this one individual, but then we also have a local economy, which potentially during a very tough time is kept afloat by this man who is, just out of the generosity and spite of this other person, ordering up to 10 pizzas a day.
By the way, you said man, but it could be man, woman, AI, monkey. I mean, it could be an AI priest,
right?
Loch Ness monster. It could really be anything. And that would be, I feel like if we got to the source of this pizza mystery, it'd probably be less exciting than we think. It's probably just a computer glitch, like a Y2K for pizza.
Where it didn't know how to turn over, so it's just like cycling the same
address, auto correcting or auto filling out his address due to some kind of flaw. But I mean, I'd love to believe there is a room with a giant round table, darkly lit, with suspicious looking people just deciding who in the world, you know, like the Illuminati of pizza, like who in the world are they going to harass with pizza until the breaking point?
Yeah,
that would be exciting.
Well, I feel like you could also probably sell this house for quite a bit of scratch to like a frat or a sorority and just be like, this house comes with free pizza every day for 45 years.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is a great point, Tyson. You're going to list this house free pizza. Yeah. Free freaking pizza.
Free pizza every day.
And is it possible that maybe this person might eventually get one of those Michael Jordan spoiled pizzas from Utah?
Yeah, definitely.
Park City. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll give him super strength and sickness at the same time.
So it doesn't seem like super strength.
Yes. This pizza sender could be Michael Jordan. I mean, I feel like that we saw.
He has the money.
Yeah. And the spite.
He does. Yeah. He definitely has the spite. Thomas is saying that what if this guy is like has a split personality where he orders the pizza and then doesn't remember ordering it. And that's like the cycle he's in.
Yeah.
Wow. That could be true. That would be that's a great. That's like a memento or something for pizza. Yeah,
quite the twist.
Yeah. Okay. Danny, is there anything else that you want to touch on this week?
No, I think I'm going to go eat some pizza, though.
Yes, we've covered everything today.
Yeah,
a lot of
Tyson.
Pizza.
How about you?
Do we have? You want me to say something more?
Do we have any reviews?
Yeah, anything else you want to talk about? How's Nature with Tyson going?
Nature with Tyson's going good. I've started only picking like the really great videos to share because I didn't. I've always been annoyed at going through 30 stories and. Evening of somebody. So now it's going to be just a small handful a few times a week. I'm going to do more of my own content because I actually think I've been losing followers due to the amount of Nature with Tyson I've been posting. People just don't love nature as much as I do.
My kids do. No. My kids say, Dad, I wish I had Instagram so I could be on Nature with Tyson.
So you're really a hit with people who don't have phones.
Yeah, I'm doing Instagram a disservice accounts. Then because now your kids are going to be like, give me a phone, Dad. I need a phone right now. I need a phone for my 7th birthday.
Yeah, but maybe like that the content for, you know, 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds is not what you're going for, though.
Maybe move your whole Nature with Tyson to Twitch.
Family.
Yes.
Well, I've got some Twitch stuff coming up, but that's top secret right now. Yeah. And then I also mukbanging. I'll be doing a lot of mukbanging.
Dude, I've been telling you to mukbang for years.
I know.
That's your ticket to the big time.
To the sweet life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I just got to buy this pizza house so then I don't have to pay for the food that comes in.
Yeah. No, buy a pizza house and turn it into a pizza restaurant. And then the house pays for itself.
Oh, my God. That's genius.
Yeah.
This is it. This is you pay for a seat at the pizza house restaurant, but part of it is you don't know when or if or how much pizza is going to show up. But that's part of the game. So you pay $50 at the door. And then you can watch movies and hang out and whatever. And then pizza shows up. It's always a surprise how much and when. And it's an experience. You're paying for the experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, great stuff once again here on News AF. Be sure to check out Danny on the Mediocre Amateur. Danny, did you get any videos with your family on your trip to...
Yeah, because I noticed... Only Adventure Bro videos.
I shoot video all the time with my family. So I do have a lot. Yes. And the people are like, oh, you must hate your family. No, I shoot video. I edit videos.
They don't sign
I
just the release. Don't.
I he doesn't hate them. He's just embarrassed of them.
My family videos will not be posted, but I did shoot video in Glacier. So that will be posted. Yeah.
Okay. Danny and I are so different about social media. Cause I'm like, when I'm dead Danny's in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want Bergen and Marlo to scroll through my Instagram feed and be like, my dad, he sure did love me and was proud of me and wanted to share us with the world. And Danny's kids will look through and be like, he loved those skis.
I do love my skis. Love them so much.
But Danny films probably way more stuff than me. So he probably has.
Trust me. I have terabytes. Thousands of hours.
Terabytes
of my family. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyson, anything, final words before we sign off this week?
Don't lick your phones, guys. Leave it to the professionals.
That's right.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like always, thank you for the love and support. Love back at you. We did it, guys.
We did it. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Do I have to say we did it, guys, again?
No.
Okay.